We're glad to present your speaker, Brother V.E. Howard.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I tell you more about broken homes and handicapped children? Today, we are concerned about sex, morality, and the home. As astonishing as it may be, 85% of high school marriages today are forced marriages, and 1 out of 6 conceive babies before the marriage. This is indeed bad, a setting for broken homes. Listen to this. 37% of teenage marriages end in divorce the first year of marriage, and after 5 years of marriage, 50% are divorced. And what makes it even more alarming is the fact that 40% of all marriages in the United States involve teenagers. Today, even some parents and so-called educators are advocating promiscuous sexual relationships out of wedlock. Would you believe this? According to one newspaper, a mother said, and I quote, "We have 2 sons, and we are permitting them both to use their bedrooms. I feel that we are being realistic and modern," end of quotation. Some colleges and universities do not hesitate to let it be known that they approve the practice of opening the doors of boys' and girls' dormitories day or night to the satisfaction of lust and passions of the students. Some even provide counsel and assistance for birth control for their students. Not many months ago, a boy and girl, students in an eastern university, were shown in bed together on a national TV network. U.S. News World and Report, June 29, 1970, reported, and I quote, "Today, 1,200 counties of 3,135 in the United States permit, and in many cases aid, birth control clinics. Some cities have teen clinics where school-age children can get contraceptives without the knowledge of the parents," in the quotation. Now, my friends, here comes the shocker. Are you listening? Did you know that some of the expert psychologists are now actually advocating the teaching of sex to the children, not only in kindergarten, but in the playpen? Listen to this. One writer in the Dallas Morning News of September 24, 1969, made the statement or had this editorial stating that some psychologists advise sex education to begin not in kindergarten, but in the playpen. The writer says, quote, "Here were these doctors, head shrinkers, and good standing all, getting right up there in the public and telling mothers to encourage sex play in the nursery school. And if this shocks us," they say, "it's because we're those prudish types who deep down really think sex is basically undesirable activity, and we're probably the ones responsible for all the teenagers' hangs up in the first place." The columnist continues, "Make sex fun is their battle cry, and the way to do it is to promote vigorous and joyful sex play. Make it a neighborhood project. You should get together to encourage, help, and foster sexual play in your pre-adolescent children." To continue the quotation, "This, as is an official position presented at the meeting of the American Psychological Association in Washington. This, ladies and gentlemen, is a part of what we are facing in our demoralized society today. Surely, that is a great need for Christian education." The Fairfield County Courier of October 16, 1969 reports, and I quote, "Have as much sex as you possibly can before you're married, as intense as possible," said a sexologist as she spoke to 600 people of the University of Bridgeport. The marriage and family counselor, psychotherapist, an author developed a series of themes which boiled down to the text, and I'm quoting, "Have sex. It's good for you. And you don't feel guilty about it. That is no reason for any human being to feel guilty about anything. And I mean anything," he emphasized. The newspaper quotes the ungodly so-called sexologist, marriage and family counselor in such a way as that. In my opinion, the psychotherapist would be better qualified to butcher hogs at hog-killing time in Louisiana than he is qualified to counsel college students about married problems or even married families. Ladies and gentlemen, hear me. Are you listening? That isn't all. One doctor who appeared on the National Broadcasting Company's Today Show frankly told the annual meeting of the Council of Churches in Pittsfield, Massachusetts, and I quote, "Virginity is about as useful to a woman as her appendix." End of quotation. We are not surprised that the doctor favors trial marriages. But there is more of this ungodly, communistic, worldly propaganda being fed to our boys and girls in our schools. And some may wonder what's wrong with the morals in America. Listen to this. I quote, "In response to a student in New Jersey who asked, 'What is your opinion to premarital sexual relations among teenagers?' the director of CECUS, an organization for teaching sex education in our public schools, funded by the federal government with our tax dollars, my money and your money, replied, and listen to this, 'What's yours? Nobody from on high,' meaning God, determines this. You've determined it. I don't believe the old 'thou shalt not' applies anymore." A quote from Look magazine. Remember, my friends, this kind of corrupt, anti-God, anti-moral hogwash is being supported by our money, money out of our paychecks. My paycheck and yours, the federal taxes that we pay our government. Frankly, I strongly resent it. Wake up, America, before it's too late. And it now is perhaps later than we think. What next? Would you believe it? On the Johnny Carson program on NBC, he and his guest, Alan Funk, boasted of the sex education class in the public school back east, where the teacher taught the class without a stitch of clothing on. Carson pointed out that the children did not object because there were no sexual hang-ups among kids. End of quotation. Ladies and gentlemen, would you believe this? There is a homosexual church in Los Angeles, California. I quote from a newspaper of December 11, 1969. Quote, "Los Angeles church first catering to homosexuals. The membership totals 255, and the pastor is a 29-year-old self-admitted homosexual. The membership is divided among males and females. Some liberals and modernists allege that Jesus himself was a homosexual. A 32-year-old homosexual preacher for a homosexual church in Los Angeles does not actually claim that Christ was a homosexual, but he says this, and I quote, But had Jesus lived in this age, he declared, he at least would have been labeled a homosexual. After all, he never married, ran around with 12 guys, and was even betrayed by a kiss from another guy." That's a quotation from Newsweek, October 12, 1970. What a blasphemy against the Son of God. A report in U.S. News of World Report, June 29, 1970, stated, and I quote, "Recently, a commission on obscenity and pornography, soon to report its findings to the president, held a hearing on Capitol Hill. Appearing as a witness was a bearded 28-year-old spokesman for the underground press, who also described himself as a minister of the Church of Life, accompanied by a dozen followers, all dressed in hippie attire. He read a statement, splattered with obscenities, denouncing the commission. At one point, a 3-year-old girl, daughter of one of his disciples, echoed his obscenities in a piping voice heard by all. When he finished, the witness suddenly pushed a whipped cream pie into the face of the commission member. Then he walked out of the building without even being arrested. According to the Kinsey Survey, there are 2,600,000 men and 1,400,000 women in America who are exclusively homosexual. One educational director for One Incorporated said, and I quote, "I won't be happy until all churches give homosexual dances." Some time ago, in one city of less than 100,000 population, the chief of police showed me his record of some 1,000 known homosexuals in that city, including two preachers, one of whom used sex literature in some of his Sunday school classes in his own church. How could any person with any degree of moral fiber in his soul allow these matters to go unchallenged? Do you ask, what difference does it make? Hear me, my friends. Are you listening? And may I say, preachers, are you listening? What are you doing about it? I'll tell you what it means. Listen to what the Bible says. No stronger language of condemnation could be used. This is what God in His Word says about it. For this cause God gave them up to vile passions, for their women changed the natural use unto that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working unseemliness, and receiving in themselves the recompense of the error which was due. And even as they refused to have God in their knowledge, God gave them up unto a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, hasteful to God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, unmerciful, who knowing the ordinance of God, that they who practice such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but also consent with them that practice them. Now you will find that in your Bible, Romans chapter 1, verses 26 through 32. What a solemn, hopeless declaration. God gave them up. What a description of this demoralized, ungodly, sin-sick society of our times. Homes, the very foundation of our society as God ordained, is being destroyed by the thousands. The lives of boys and girls are being wrecked and ruined. Our society is being disintegrated. But what is the cost? Souls are being lost in hell. The inspired apostle warned, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousies, wrath, divisions, parties, envious, drunkenness, reveling, and such like, of which I forewarn you as I did forewarn you before, that they who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Galatians 5, verses 19 to 21. To the Corinthian church, the apostle wrote, "Know ye not that the unrighteousness shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with men, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God." 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10. No individual, nor nation of people has ever deceived God. Payday is coming, ladies and gentlemen. You can be sure of that. And the Bible says, the wages of sin is death. Romans 6, 23. Not only disillusionment, misery, wrecked lives, unhappiness, wrecked minds and wrecked bodies, but at last, lost souls in hell. If you want to go to hell, there are many ways to go there. And you may have plenty of company on your way, and you may revel in the world of pleasures that Satan has to offer, but you're pleased for mercy in the days of eternal punishment will be of no avail. You may exchange the Word of God and the overture of His mercy for a new morality. A new morality philosophy of Ernest Hemingway, for instance, who said, "Good is what I feel good. Bad is what I feel bad." But that man will face God in the judgment just like every other mortal being. The Hemingway doctrine of what I feel good is good and what I feel bad is bad, which is the doctrine of the so-called new morality, is the Bible for the liberal and immoral sensualist. Such Satan-inspired philosophy defies God's authority and all authority, law and order. Such misguided souls conclude, "I'll do what I want to because it makes me feel good, and because I want to do it, that makes it right." Poor, wretched, deceived souls. My friends, you are seriously concerned about the education of your children and their destiny tomorrow? Well, you should be. Listen to this. Did you know that a group of religious church educators are today not only advocating teaching sex to the children of their Sunday school classrooms, but have actually produced sex films revealing, describing, and explaining sex acts in their Sunday school classes? The Bible is little importance to them. These facts are revealed in a two-page news story in a national newspaper, the National Observer, Washington, D.C., date of August 23, 1971. I give only a few quotations from the long religious news report entitled "Film Strip for Sunday School: Learn All About Sex." I quote, "The way to show love-making, they say, is with brilliantly lighted close-ups of couples making love. The slides were replaced with a color film strip of three separate couples having intercourse. And the film strip became just one teaching tool in what already was the most comprehensive, explicit, and possibly controversial set of materials ever assembled for use in a classroom." Now keep in mind, this classroom is a church classroom, so-called church. I quote further, "The course is called All About Your Sexuality. It was formulated by educators here in the National Office of the Unitarian Universalist Association, mainly for the junior high school students in Unitarian churches' weekly religious classes." I'm quoting. "In turning to sex, the editor of the unit course declares, decided to create a place in our church schools where kids could get adequate information so they could communicate with one another and clarify their own attitudes toward expression of sexuality." I'm continuing with the quotation. "The curriculum's maker contend that it dictates no single set of values. It is built on the principle that each situation affects the ethics of a person's actions. He offers the example of what happens in the course of when a student asks, 'Is it okay for junior high kids to have intercourse?' We tell teachers that you don't say yes and you don't say no. That's not an effort to cop out. You don't say yes because what the kid who isn't having such an experience, you don't say no because what about the kid who is, in terms of guilt he might feel? A major focus of the curriculum, says the director, is letting the kids in on the fact that there are no set of values. Essentially, he emphasized the course is a process that a bunch of kids with adults go through with just simply supply the props," in the quotation. A report in the Dallas Morning News of January 8, 1972 stated, and I quote, "Over half of 1,100 Sunday schools of the Liberal Unitarian Universalist Association instituted classes in sex education last fall, and groundwork is being laid for the First Unitarian Church in Dallas to begin a program this year." According to December 27th issue of Newsweek magazine, the course entitled About Your Sexuality includes total, I'm quoting, totally explicit film strips that depict adults engaged in sexual relationships, in the quotation. Now, ladies and gentlemen, how would you like for your children or your grandchildren to receive such Christian quotation marks? And I say a disgrace to the name Christian. Education in such an institution. And I remind you, that is what is being taught in some Sunday school classrooms today. I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible doesn't have a chance in the reckless hands of such morally degenerated specialists who pose as Sunday school teachers. If the past and present are any criteria, I assure you that in the near future, or sometime in the future, some members of the Lord's church will have some of their own children in some of the federal schools for the government to raise their children. In schools operated by government-sponsored and paid-for psychiatrists, who will start teaching the children about sex in the playpen. Or in a school operated by some denominational church, perhaps infiltrated by godless communism, advocating rebellion against the establishment, the home, the church, the government, and our eternal God, encouraging immorality, lewdness, ungodliness, and disobedience. Do you say, but how could any member of the Lord's church do such a thing? Surely Christians could never do that, if indeed we are Christians, and if we are concerned about our homes and our young people.